Hello. This is a podcast about gossip, dirty laundry, chitter chatter, and back fence prittle prattle. In each episode, Joe Wilkinson and David Earl invite you lot, the lovely listeners, to send in any juicy gossip you might have heard over the years. At the end of each episode, they will choose their favorite bit of gossip and place it on the new Gossip Mongers leaderboard. It's ever so big and shiny, so, without further ado, welcome to Guffing Marilyn Monroe, no, Gooey Mattresses, no, Grafting Matadors, no, Gossip Mongers, yes, Gossip Mongers, yes, yes, that's it, Gossip Mongers, welcome. Get your gossip goggles on. Tread with care. You have been warned. Gossip number one.
This is from Chris from Manchester. Hello, gossip mongers. I recently visited a posh friend of mine in London. Her boyfriend, let's call him Lance, was even posher. And he told me this bit of gossip during one of the awkward bits where we were left alone. He told me of a friend of his who owns a shoot in the countryside. I didn't know what this was, so he explained it's one of those privately owned wooded areas where rich people go to wear tweed and murder pheasants for a laugh.
Cool.
One day, there arrived what Lance rather questionably described as a procession of Arabs. It was clear they were in the UK on business and wanted to experience the high life of British culture. Usually, the landowner accompanies the visiting party with his dogs, who shake up the trees so the pheasants fly into the air. But on this occasion, the translator of the group explained to the landowner that true hunters hunt alone.
Shit.
Afraid of offending the group and their culture, the landowner gave them the dogs and allowed them to enter the grounds alone. A few hours passed, during which time the translator returned to the house to request more ammunition for the guns. This is odd, as the landowner gave them more than enough. But he put it down to the Arab lads probably just being a bit trigger happy. Eventually, the group knocked on the door to the main house to return the guns, and the landowner noticed with some amusement that they were empty-handed. "Didn't manage to get any pheasants then?" he asked them. "No," said one of the Arabs in excited but broken English. "But we did manage to shoot lots of those Highland deer." This was met with a bemusement from the landowner. He didn't own any deer. They weren't even close to the Highlands. Worried, he stepped outside of his house to the sight of two full fields of sheep with their fucking heads blown off. Oh, a proper fucking bloodbath.
Oh, God. It's a hell of a picture. Just a field of dead sheep. I wonder, they were just going up to them and blowing their heads off.
Clearly, assuming everything on the property was fair game, the true hunters had walked up to the docile sheep one by one and brutally executed them at point-blank range.
Sorry.
Stopping only to collect more ammo, with which I imagine they finished off the baby lambs for good measure. Anyway,
it's so fucked up.
In the end, they left their brand new Range Rovers as payment. Actually, a pretty good deal if you think about it. Love the show, love the show, Chris Gordon Bennett.
2 weeks of clearing up after them.
Oh, God.
Shit.
Wow. I don't think either of us felt relaxed enough to belly laugh.
No, I didn't really want to comment as well. Yeah, there wasn't a bit of that story I could complete. My shoulders didn't sort of tense up over.
Horrible, horrible, horrible story. Absolutely horrible piece of gossip. Yucky. Apologies you had to sit through that. Guns and sheep. Really, really horrible and yucky. Horrible, 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 horrible story. Gossip number two.
This is from Tetley. Last summer, I attended a stag do at which I did not know the majority of attendees. One of the first people I got chatting with turned out to work for something called the Soil Association.
Soil Association.
Which, for your sake, I will not tell you about. Not wishing to exhaust the no doubt numerous wild and debaucherous mud-related tales about the Soil Association so early on in the festivities, I moved on to talk to the stag. The stag ran me through the backgrounds of some of his assembled guests, including Soil Boy. It transpired that far from being the dullard mole botherer I'd had just judged him to be based on his profession, he was in fact quite a marvellous and notorious wrong'un. But I will tell you about just one of the more recent incidents the stag filled me in on. The gentleman in question had apparently acquired himself a new girlfriend, who surprisingly was, by all accounts, lovely, if a little innocent and naive. One day, his girlfriend had texted him at work asking him what he fancied for dinner. Presumably still feeling he was in the courting stage of his relationship, Soil Boy paused his important work on the health of the nation's flowerbeds and took the time to reply, "Yo, pussy."
Oh, that's all he wrote?
Yeah.
All right.
However, his girlfriend was confused, taking the "yo" to be her man's greeting to her, and she believed pussy to be food stuff. French, perhaps, she'd not heard of. Luckily, she was in work too and was able to turn to a more senior colleague to help identify it. She therefore proclaimed to her office that her boyfriend wanted pussy.
Yo, pussy.
For dinner.
How's pussy spelled?
Yo, pussy.
How do you think it's spelled?
Don't know. Is it loads of E's at the end?
One P, two O's, two S's, A and a Y. Pussy.
Yo, pussy.
It should be poo-say. Yo, pussy.
Yeah, to be fair, I get it now.
Yeah, called him pussy for dinner and asked if anyone knew what it was before showing the message to them to help them understand.
Yo, pussy.
It is at this point we must assume she twigged and that once again a small part of the innocence of the lady had been stolen away by the Soil Association.
Yo, pussy.
What the hell's the Soil Association got to do with anything?
The Soil Association.
Dear. Do let me know if you would like a relationship update on Soil Boy and his bow, and I'll endeavour to find out. Regards.
Pussy.
Yo, pussy.
Can anyone work out what he wants to
do? I'm totally with her.
Yeah, I know. Some kind of cheese. Like,
what's pussy? I'd probably ask, what's pussy? It sounds like a fish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Could I try some of your lovely creamy pussy, please? Would that be all right? Would it be okay to have your creamy pussy for afters? And make it cheesy. Pussy. Pussy. And make it cheesy. Gossip number three.
Don't know who this is from. Hello. Really love the show. Please keep my name anonymous. Can't say it. As I'll be buggered if this got back to me. Thanks. We once went to school with a lad who had two arseholes.
Yeah. Yeah.
He claimed that he could fart out of both of them.
God.
We suggested using a smattering of talc over both rectums to prove it. So good. It's fucking fair, to be fair. A calcium lace eruption from the double shitter would clearly delight his dirty hypothesis. He didn't go for the test. He just wanted it to be faith-based. In class, he was always a foot higher than everyone else, as he had to sit on a big cushion. Fuck off. Despite the extra comfort, you'd often see him fidgeting, frantically scratching away his two arseholes whilst muttering, "Ooh, my abscess." What the hell's going on? Even when you couldn't clearly see his heavily bowed gait, you knew he was coming. In the distance, you'd see fellow peers start doing a line dance, running round in arm-length circles and singing to the tune of the famous redneck hit, "Where did you come from? How do you grow? Here he comes, two arseholes, Joe."
How's that? Where did it come from?
Here he comes from, two arseholes, Joe. Nearly. It's one syllable too many, unfortunately. He was a lovely chap, just had a shocking rear.
Oh, dear.
Number 4.
Hi, Mungers. This doesn't count as gossip, as it's 100% true and was witnessed by around 80 people who will forever remain bonded and scarred by the experience. I've been on a lot of rugby tours and they're disgusting. I look back on some of the things I've seen and done with absolute horror and shame. But they seemed funny at the time. This, however, was beyond the pale.
God, this is redemption, isn't it?
The place is Lloret de Mar in Spain, and the year is 2012. Someone had the genius idea of grouping a load of British universities together and sending them off to Spain on a so-called sports tour to wreak havoc. We lost two people before we even got to Calais. One locked himself in a ferry toilet dressed as a cow and got shuttled backwards and forwards between Calais and Dover before a poor cleaner found him. One we lost somewhere on the M20 and we're still not quite sure where he is. And the ferry journey itself made BBC News for the sheer scale of damage that was caused. There's a link here to the BBC News article. Manchester University's pro drunken ferry fracas. That was all child's play compared to what was to come.
What is it with young men?
Enter Simon. Third day of the tour, and we're all stood on the middle of the rugby pitch at about 11 a.m. Sun's beating down. There are a number of games going on around us for miles around. Think Hackney Marshes, but hotter, drier, and everyone is disgracefully drunk already. In the distance, we spot a female. A not unattractive female. A not unattractive female is completely bollock naked and yelling indecipherably in a Mancunian accent. a not unattractive female who's completely bollock naked, yelling indecipherably in a Mancunian accent, and starts to squat down, and no other way to say it, piss into a plastic pint cup and drink it. God. We all turn away, retching in disgust, but that seems to have piqued Simon's interest. We see her disappear off across the horizon and go back to our game. A short while later, she reappeared. She's still bollock naked except for one item, a massive strap-on dildo. And I mean massive. At this point, it should be said that even her own friends are staring at her with a what-the-fuck expression and keeping their distance. Simon appears and utters the immortal words, "I'd let her do terrible things to me with that." Now, there's an old game you may or may not have heard called Tell Her. If you say something about someone and don't end it with told her, told him, anyone can say tell her, tell him. And you have to go up to the said person and tell them what you've said. You can see where I'm going with this. Needing little cajoling, we saw Simon stride over to her, and although we couldn't hear the conversation, through the gestures and body language, we could tell that he had, in fact, told her that he would let her do terrible things to me with that. At which point, she gestured to the ground and got on all fours. What followed was one of the most disturbing things that any of us have ever seen. In the middle of a rugby pitch, at 11:30 in the morning, using sun cream and San Miguel as lube, she entered him. Oh, fuck! A crowd gathered, with them in the middle. What promised to be a fun, childish prank had turned into a girl full-on rogering a guy in front of a lot of people. That would have been bad enough, but then she slipped. Until what? Then, she'd been just using the tip. She went up to the hilt. The cry that he let out will stay in my nightmares, because although it sounded like the cry of a goat who had trodden on Lego... It sounded like the cry of a goat who had trodden on Lego at the same time as being branded, who really liked all of those things. To be honest, I can't really remember what happened from that, other than never having heard a coach full of 40 lads be so fucking quiet as they all process what they'd just witnessed. The postscript to all of this is, and this proves that true love really isn't dead, they're now married and have children. What a fucking world.
How did you two meet? Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking what my mum and dad say when I say hey, when we, you know, when you yeah. ask. And my mum said, "Oh, I was working as a typist at the Express, and your dad walked in, and I remember thinking,
he
smelled really nice, and he had a really nice smile, but I didn't think he'd blah blah blah."
Yeah, and then I shoved this enormous dildo up his rectum, and he cried out like a goat.
And my knee slipped on the dirt, and the shaft went right down into your dad's anus. Oh, I've never heard a coach load of rugby lads be so quiet. Anyway, second night, it got really wild. Fuck me.
Oh, God.
Up to the hilt. Up to the hilt. The part of the gossip I keep thinking about. Up to the hilt. Up to the hilt. All the way in, and up to the hilt. Jack and Jill went up to the hilt to fetch pail of water. Jack screamed out as Jill had completely destroyed Jack's anus in front of a load of rugby players. Up to the hilt. If you would like to support the podcast and get a chance to listen to the episodes early, watch videos, that kind of thing, come over to patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. That's patreon.com/gossipmongers. Thank you. Gossip number 5.
Dear Mungerlords, there are two known facts. One, police officers are bound by data protection due to judicial proceedings and a strict moral code. Two, they happen to see humankind at their best and, conversely, their worst. Oh, God. The combination of these two aspects create an environment rich with high-grade gossip, whispered in hushed tones in stations across the land. I have many of these little anecdotes, which either keep me smiling during times of hardship or keep me from ever getting a good night's sleep. These include, but are limited to, the baby cow bummer, the eye-gouging burglar, and several sexcapades gone very wrong. A male detained in custody for some form of sex offence, and local officers were tasked to search his home for evidence relating to the offence. I won't go into details of the offence. Suffice to say, it involved indecent images, and a search and seizing powers were authorised for computers, hard drives, USB sticks and the like. Officers, myself included, attended the address, which on arrival I was pleased to see a tidy small bungalow at the end of a cul-de-sac. Prior to just walking in, rifling through unmentionables, it's always polite to knock. After a brief rap of knuckles on the door, it was opened by a short, timid, middle-aged lady.
Hello.
Although not surprised by our arrival, she was keen to usher us in to limit the neighbourly twitchy curtains. Once in the living room, the lady was sat down and given a tea whilst all the legal bump was explained to her. After that, we could begin tearing the shit out of the dirty bastard's worldly possessions. Everything was going fine and I'd completed about half the room when I opened the bottom of a small brown cupboard. I pulled out several albums and quickly scanned through the images to ensure it wasn't a collection of illegal grot. At the corner of my vision, I noticed the wife of the dirty bastard shift uncomfortably in her chair. She produced a tissue from a saggy arm sleeve and held it to her mouth as she produced a stifled cough. Her eyes followed my hands as I picked up a gruff-looking grey album and opened it. The first few shots were of the dumpy wife sporting a dress in the living room, which I was currently sat in. Various positions were then adopted as she went from bored middle-class housewife to playboy wannabe. The dress was haunched up and then removed as she bent down on all fours. It began to get a little uncomfortable as her eyes bored into the back of my head as I simultaneously viewed the flickerbook-style removal of underwear and spreading of particulars. I did think about stopping or moving it to another room to protect her embarrassment. However, I also wrestled with the fact that this could end up being crucial evidence in the investigation, and that whilst these thoughts were bouncing around my head, I'd gone too far. I saw something I couldn't unsee. Firstly, I noticed that her husband had joined the imagery, just one pasty naked leg sticking out away from the camera in the direction of the lusty fat one. To begin with, it seemed all pretty kosher. She wriggled her dimpled butt over to him, licked his toes, flopped her spaniel-eared titties round the place, and proceeded to bury herself knuckle-deep in both her front and back door. Then things took an unlikely twist. The wobbly filth bag then faced away from the camera in a sort of fetal position, curled up in a ball on her knees, with just her bike rack ass crack on show and hairy starfish. The male's foot began to edge closer to her brown bottom.
Oh, fucking hell.
Until his big toe could be seen tickling the surrounding spider legs. A little whimper from the lady behind me suggested she was more than aware of what dreaded visual imagery was about to scar this poor officer's mind. The toes started to slowly creep into her stinky abyss until it couldn't be seen anymore. Okay, fine. I can deal with that. However, where one piggy went...
Oh, God. We're not going to lose his ankle, are we?
More were to follow. Toes 2, 3, 4 and 5 were then swallowed by the hungry sheriff's badge. The individual deposits captured on glossy 6x4 images, like some kind of proud certificate. Huh, but wait, there's more. Like some kind of slow-motion Houdini vanishing act, the stanky ring began to work its way down the foot. like some kind of famished kraken. Congratulations, I nearly exclaimed as she made it to the heel. That must take some eye-watery effort. And I was suitably impressed in her commitment.
I suddenly thought, isn't the heel the back of your foot?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, shit. That must take some eye-watery effort. I was suitably impressed in her commitment of attempting to eat a meal backwards. More photos to go in the anal annual. I plodded on like my own brand of Dora the Explorer into this new world, grimacing at the overstretched sphincter and fear of tearing. I was shocked to observe that the plucky housewife ventured on and took the heel also, so that all that was now visible was shin. And then wife bent over like some fleshy shoe. I looked up, and for the first time since, I discovered the collection of bum fun pics and caught her eye. Tissue still pressed to her face in an attempt to hide her bright red embarrassment, she simply exclaimed, "I'm sorry you had to see that." Oh, God.
Is there more?
Yeah. It's okay. It was all I could muster. I shared the contents of the album with the officer in charge of the investigation just in case it provided the missing jigsaw piece. We had some serial foot bum fucker crimes which were yet to be solved. Evidently, there weren't. Conversation of the images was kept to a minimum whilst at the address to protect the chubby warrior's feelings. However, I did wince as the detective said quite loudly on the phone as they left the address, "You couldn't write it. He was wearing her as a shoe." Evidently, you can write it, and I have. Keep up the good work, PC Anonymous. Friggin' hell.
Honestly, when you said heel, I was expecting that bit. Yeah, I thought you were talking about that bit because I couldn't get my head. And then I was like, oh, no,
all
it's that
bit. You could see
bit.
Was shin.
Yeah.
In a bum. Fucking foot in a bum. That is fucking mental.
I like the way he just sort of like stuck his leg into shot and slowly eked it up. Oh, she knew that was coming as well.
Oh, he's gone, yeah,
He's gone to the foot.
Yeah, the small brown cupboard. That's what she is. She's a small brown shoe cupboard, foot cupboard. Fucking hell.
The man who wore his wife as a shoe.
Joe Wilkinson and David Earl will now choose their favourite rumour.
Right, the top five for this episode are sheep shooting, whole foot in wife's ass.
Cool. Take some beat in that one.
Pussy. Two arseholes and rugby tour strap. It's very much a bum episode.
What a change.
This is number one, sheep shooting. Number two, no, I'll do it again. Number one, sheep shooting. Number two, two art salts. Number three, rugby tour strap on. Number four, foot in wife's ass. Number five, bizarre.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, to be fair, two of them, nothing went up the anus.
God, it's depressing.
Which is quite a big chunk for us.
Oh, dear. It's quite, yeah, okay.
All right, I think I know what I want.
Yeah. Listen to me.
They've all got their own, they all bring their own something special. What to put up a bottom? Right. What to put up a bottom?
Right, after three. One, two, three. Rugby tour strap on.
Right. Never in doubt, to be honest with you. That's like Real Madrid,
yeah.
Isn't it, really? They're going through.
Right, do you want to put it in the chute?
Yes, please. Unscrewing the top. Put it in. Screw it to the top again.
Off it goes.
And then off she goes. Whoa! And out she comes.
Hey.
Up onto the leaderboard.
Okay, so to the next round. So rugby tour strap on and we'll play. Who knows?
Mate Norian.
Okay. Oh, dear.
God, these really are too long, these end bits, aren't they?
Yeah. I had a look at the sort of stats for the episode, and more or less 70% of people don't listen to this bit. So to all you listening, you're the A-listers.
For the 30% that have nodded off and forgot to turn it off,
yeah.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Remember, if you know of any unsubstantiated rumors, send it into gossipmongers@yahoo.com. Until the next time, keep your little ears open for all that juicy goss. Goodbye. Bye-bye. Bye. Love you lots and lots. Bye for now.
Sorry to interrupt the pod, hope you're enjoying it, but just wanted to tell you that we have a Patreon page you can join if you're enjoying what we do, and you can get even more of us. Oh, can you imagine? So as little as £3 a month, you can get early access to podcasts, behind the scenes bits and bobs, we post pics and videos of what we're up to. There's even an opportunity to come on the show, if that's what you fancy. There's access to our Discord channel where the serious chatterbiscuits gather and chat. Nonsense. It's basically a really lovely community of idiots like us, and I'm guessing probably like you. So if you fancy that, go to patreon.com/chatterbix. Now enjoy the rest of the pod.
Patreon, give it to me. Patreon, I need it, girl. Patreon, give it to me. Patreon.